Good evening. All right, turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to continue tonight in our study in Philippians. I'm just going to read a few verses from the fourth chapter. Philippians chapter 4, we'll read from verse 6 down to verse 9. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to again come before your throne of grace. We thank you that, Lord, because of your grace and your mercy, we are made accepted in the Beloved. Lord, we remember tonight at communion time the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made on the cross of Calvary as the perfect Lamb of God, the innocent for the guilty, he for us, suffering for our sin, that we might have eternal life, that we might be forgiven for our sin, that we might have a righteous standing before God. Lord, we just thank you so much for the blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we were to stand here and to number them, Lord, we would run out of numbers. And Lord, we're just so thankful for the wonderful grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, as we look into the book of Philippians, which, Father, is your prescription for joy in the Christian life, we pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us, that, Lord, the words of your mouth would stick to our heart and stick to our minds, that, Lord, we would go away from this place remembering exactly what you have said to us. Lord, we pray that you would speak to each one of our hearts tonight to the glory of God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, as we looked last time in our study in Philippians, for those of you that were here, we saw that the theme of the book of Philippians was joy, and that over and over the Apostle Paul spoke to them with regards to rejoicing and to have joy, and he spoke of it in a way that conveyed to them that it was their choice, that they needed to make a choice to rejoice and be joyful. And that was backed up by the fact that over and over in the epistle, the Apostle Paul also spoke to them about how they thought. And with regards to their thinking, he told them to be single-minded. He told them not to be double-minded. He told them to be like-minded. He told them to think, as we just read, on these things. And we see the key to having joy in the Christian life, as written by the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, is to think right. If we want to sum everything up, if we wanted to sum up the whole book of Philippians, and it would be oversimplifying it, but we would say that the Christian, in order to have joy, has to make a choice to think right. It's as simple as that, but it's very difficult, isn't it? Now, hopefully, that last time we looked at this, I was blessed in the study and blessed in looking at these things. It was something that I shared that I've struggled with myself. I find it much easier to, you know, look on the dark side than look on the bright side. I read a story today about a shoe company who decided that they were going to expand into the Congo. And so what they did was they sent out two salesmen to go and do a bit of a survey trip or a market research trip as to whether or not it would be worthwhile. So anyway, one of them, he cables back to the head office and he says, there's no prospect for selling shoes here. Nobody wears them. And the other one said, great market opportunity, everybody's barefoot. And so it illustrates to us, again, this thing that we learned last time, that in a given situation, we can either look at it one way or we can look at it the other way. And so joy is very much the same thing. And so I've been blessed that as the Lord's reminded me to think right, that I have had a lot of joy in remembering what it's all about to be a Christian. And it's been such a blessing. I think that I have to give thanks to God that He's probably given me a fairly easy time. I've had a few machinery problems, but things have been going fairly smoothly. And obviously it's easy to be joyful when things are going smoothly. We remember, though, when I thought about this, that the Apostle Paul said, "My light affliction that is but for a moment." And when we think about what Paul's light affliction was, it wasn't very light at all. But he considered it light because he was thinking right and he chose to rejoice. And so these are the keys to what... So we can be a Christian like that. There's another story that I read today, and it was regards to a lady. She was a widow. She had two sons. And she relied wholly on these boys for her income. Now, one of them sold umbrellas. And the first thing the mum did every morning when she got up, she looked out the window to see if it was raining. Because she knew if it was raining, her son would sell umbrellas. And if it was sunny, she would be most discouraged and most upset and most depressed that she wasn't going to be able to get any income through her son because he wouldn't be able to sell umbrellas on a sunny day. Now, the other son, his job was to sell cooling fans. And so every morning she looked out the window to see if it was raining or if it was sunny, because she realized that if it was raining, he wouldn't sell any fans. And see, some people, it doesn't matter how it goes, they're going to look at it the wrong way. The lady didn't realize that whether it was sunny or whether it was raining, one of the sons was going to do well. But she decided that she was going to look at it from the wrong end, and she was going to just be depressed no matter what. And so as a Christian, we don't want to be like that. And so we looked at the fact that we need to think right. And one of the things that we want to look at tonight, and we see it in the start of our text in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, "Be careful for nothing." Now, it's also basically means be anxious for nothing. Don't worry, I wouldn't say about nothing because that's not very good English. But don't worry, don't be anxious. Don't be careful, as in caring, very caring about all these problems. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so we look at this, break this verse down. What do we see? First of all, we see that we're not to worry, and the alternative is that we go to God. And we see that the word used in our going to God is prayer. Now, we hear prayer. I think prayer has got to be the most basic thing that a Christian ever hears about. All right? When do you go to church and not hear about prayer? Right? Never. And so, what can happen is familiarity can breed contempt. Because we can close our eyes and say some words and... Is that a prayer? When we look at what prayer means, it's interesting. The Greek word that is translated prayer here is prosuke. And it means prayer worship. Okay? To worship. So to come to God in worship is to come to God in thankfulness. It's to come to God in recognition of who He is. Now, when we pray, do we go to God in recognition of who He is, knowing that because of who He is, He is going to be there to hear what we've got to say, to hear what we've got to ask. And so it's the idea of going to God in worship and adoration. Interestingly enough, the same word is the name for a place of prayer, okay? Like a synagogue. Or in Philippians, I think it's chapter 16, where we see that the Apostle Paul, there was no synagogue in Philippi. And so it talks about he went down to the river where prayer was wont to be made. And there was a special place on the river there where, and the reason, does anyone know why they used to have the place of prayer on the river? Can anyone guess why that is? Yes, Abby? Nope. Good answer though. Good try. right? Because they used to wash their hands before they prayed. And so there was a place where they went and they prepared themselves before they even prayed. They washed their hands in the river. And then they went, so they were prepared, and then they went and they bowed down and they prayed. Now, the idea we get here is that there was an order to their prayer. There was an order to their worship. It wasn't just some flippant, you know, driving along in the car going, oh, Lord, you know, bless, give me a parking spot when I get to the shop. You know, I mean, the Lord does say, be anxious for nothing, but everything with prayer and supplication. So we should be praying without ceasing. But we need to understand that there's an important place where we come in reverence before God, recognizing who He is. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer is the first thing. The second thing it says is supplication. Now, supplication is a request that we make to God. And so we're going to God and we're asking Him for something, right? We're coming to Him with a heart of worship. We're asking Him for our requests. And so, and I think this is a good order for us to pray. Often we're too quick to just go to God and say, God, this is what I need. This is what I want you to do for me. Without giving the proper adoration and respect to God for who He is. And so, and then the last thing we see is with thanksgiving. Now, this is what I want to talk about tonight, with thanksgiving. And it's interesting that the Greek word is Eucharistia. What does that remind you of? The Eucharist. Now, we don't have the Eucharist because it's a Catholic thing, but it means thanksgiving, okay? Gratitude, grateful language, an act of worship, thankfulness to God. And so we see this thankfulness is the most important thing. I think that it would be a good idea for us to, when we stand up on Wednesday night at the end of the meeting to take prayer requests, that the first thing we do is make a list of things that we need to thank God for with regards to answered prayer. Because we pray, we ask for a lot of things, but disagree with me if you think I'm wrong, but I think we don't thank God enough for the things that He answers. And I think we should have a special time to say, God, thank You that You did this, that You answered this. It's important. Okay, so in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then it goes on to say, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And so if we can go to God and we can worship Him, we can place our needs and our desires on the altar, our problems on the altar, we can go away and we can have peace that our Heavenly Father has all these things in control. We can go away with a heart of thankfulness. You know, there's some wonderful verses in the Bible. One of the ones I really like is that we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are the called according to His purpose. You know, no matter what happens in our life, no matter what circumstance comes in our face, no matter what difficulty or problem we face, if we were to remind ourselves even just of that verse, we would be able to say to God, God, thank You for this difficult thing. Because I know that because You have promised, this is working together for good for me. Because I love God and I am the called according to Your purpose. And so we need to take Scripture. And see, that's the whole thing. Do we choose to look at the difficulties or do we choose to look at what God has said and count our blessings? And so we see that another one of the keys to having joy in the Christian life is thankfulness. If you ever meet a person who's thankful, you meet a person who's happy. If you meet a person who isn't thankful, you meet a person who is depressed and discouraged. I shared a story last time when I was going through Philippians here. I just think it's good to remind ourselves of this. When it was talking about Matthew Henry, and he was robbed, and the thieves came and they took everything of value that he had, and later in the evening he wrote in his diary and he said, I am thankful that during these years I have never been robbed before. One thing to be thankful for, right? Just been robbed. Who's been robbed? Who's had their house broken into? Who's had their car broken into? It's not nice, When it happened to me, I walked out in the street for like days and looked up and down to see if the person who was like had robbed me was going to come back, because I was so mad, violated, angry. Matthew Henry said, "I'm thankful that I've never been robbed before now. Even though they took my money, they did not take my life." He said, "I'm still here. They didn't kill me. Although they took all that I had, it wasn't very much." And then the last thing he said, "Finally, I'm grateful that it was me who was robbed, not I that robbed somebody else." And so we see here that a heart of thankfulness, even in a difficult situation, being the key to joy. The scripture has so much to say regarding this, and the Lord has given us so much that we can focus on to the positive, that if we choose to, we can be thankful and we can be joyful in our Christian life. So it's difficult for us. So often we just find it so much easier in the moment to be discouraged and to look at the negative things rather than the positive. But it never ends well. It never ends well. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." And another word for content is thankful. He's learned how to be thankful. And what does he say? I always found this interesting that he says, "I know both how to be abased," bought low, "and I know how to abound." You know, we never think about having to learn how to abound. I mean, when things are going great, why would we have to learn how to deal with that? Right? But we do, you know, because the children of Israel, every time they abounded, they forgot God and walked away. And so the Apostle Paul is saying that even when everything's going great, I've learned how to deal with that as well. And we need to learn how to abound as much as we do to be abased. He says, "Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." The key, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And Paul was saying, my focus is the reason why I can think right. My focus, because it's all about Christ. We were reminded last time when we looked at the verses that he said, "And for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." And so he had nothing to lose because he was thinking right. Did he have something to lose? Sure he did. He had his life to lose. He had his comfort to lose. He had his physical well-being to lose. But as far as he was concerned, he didn't have anything to lose. He said, "But what things I counted gain, I decided that they were worth nothing. I counted them but dung. Those things that were gain to me, I counted them a loss. I counted them but dung, because my eyes were fixed on Christ." And so he had the right focus. He was single-minded, and he'd learned how to be content. He'd learned how to be thankful. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, he tells the Philippians, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." And so our testimony as Christians needs to be one that isn't one of dispute, of murmuring and disputing. You can go to any workplace on a Monday morning and you can hear people whinging and complaining about the management, about the boss, about the... You go to the mines, they complain about the food. "Oh, I'm sick of eating fillet steak every day." You know, you laugh. It's true. I've heard it. So you can go to places and you can hear people complaining and murmuring and disputing. But a Christian shouldn't be one to be seen doing that. And be careful that when you're there with your workmates, that you don't get carried away. It's so easy. We've all done it. Don't get carried away. Be the person who isn't be seen with the rest of the people to be murmuring and disputing, because Paul says we need to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, and that we need to be shining as lights. If a Christian isn't shining as a light, then he's just wasting his time on this earth. He's of no use to God. He's not a testimony. He's not pointing anyone to the Saviour. He's just the same as everybody else. And we don't want to be just the same as everybody else. He speaks to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 9 and says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, he's talking about giving thanks always for all things. It's, you know, it's difficult. We were blessed to be at the funeral of the Hockey's 10-month-old baby that passed away. I shed some tears at that funeral. It was emotional. It was heart-wrenching. But you know what? It was an incredible testimony to the grace of God. Roger Hockey led the service. He stood up for about 40 minutes and gave a eulogy. He gave a blow-by-blow description of everything that happened to Janaea before she died. And sitting there as a father, having had so many children, my heart just broke for him. But the thing was, he didn't have to try and put on thankfulness to God for the trial and thankfulness to God that he was in control through this, you know, outwardly horrible circumstance that none of us would ever want to go through. But, you know, you could see God's grace working in that man and in that family in a powerful way, in a powerful way, in a way that no unsaved person would ever have seen any non-Christian deal with death in their entire life. They shined as lights by the grace of God. And you know, it's amazing. It's one thing to talk about God's grace being sufficient. It's another thing to see it in action. And for those of you who have gone through heavy, heavy trials, you've seen the grace of God in action. And you know, we can be thankful for all things that God is doing, because he's never, ever leading us astray. There's so many places we could look at in the New Testament with regards to being thankful. We see it over and over again. It's interesting, in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, in chapter 22, reading from verse 26, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, when a bullock or a sheep or a goat is brought forth, then it shall be 7 days under the dam, and from the 8th day and thenceforth it shall be accepted for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And whether it be a cow or ewe, you shall not kill it and her young both in one day. And when you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. And see, even there we see that the choice to come before God and make an offering of thanksgiving is a choice. He said, when you come and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. God's not interested in ritualistic offerings of thanksgiving. God's not interested in us just closing our eyes and praying and say, Lord, thank you for this, thank you for that, thank you for that, thank you, thank you. He wants us to come before him and really meditate on the things that we can be thankful for. There's so many things that we have to be thankful for. I was talking to Zoe out at Ravenshoe when I went to do Bible study there this afternoon, and she's a positive person. She's a happy person, and she was talking about her diabetes. She has to have inject insulin every day, and she said, you know, we were talking about Philippians, about joy. And she said, I could be upset about the fact that I have to inject insulin every day for the rest of my life. And I said, well, that's right. I said, but you can be thankful for the fact that you were born in Australia, that you have access to hospitals and medical care, that you have insulin, that you have, you know, all these things. And so it's really, what do we choose to dwell on? It's interesting, in Nehemiah, when Nehemiah goes back to Jerusalem to build up the walls, and they started to put in place the, or reinstitute the right worship and the right ministry of the priests and all of the ways of worshiping God that God had given to Israel. It says in Nehemiah chapter 12 and verse 44, at the time were some appointed over the chambers for the treasures, for the offerings, for the first fruits, and for the tithes, to gather them into the out of the fields of the cities, of the portions of the law for the priests and the Levites. And Judah rejoiced for the priests and the Levites that waited. And both the singers and the porters kept the ward of their God and the ward of the purification according to the commandment of David and his son Solomon. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. And so we see even in the, you know, when we're singing, we need to be thinking. We need to be, you know, we enjoy singing. We enjoy blending our voices together. We need to be, as Elijah often exhorts us, to be thinking about the words and to be making these prayers of our heart as we sing these songs to the Lord, thinking about what God has done. You know that if it wasn't for the Lord, every single one of us would be on the road to hell. Every single one of us would end up in the lake of fire. You know, God didn't condemn anybody. He sent Christ to save us. And if he hadn't intervened, we would just be lost forever. And often we just take this for granted, but it's another thing that we can be thankful for. The psalmist in Psalm 116, verse 16 said, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Has Christ loosed your bonds? Has he loosed you from the bonds of sin? Absolutely. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. You know, it tells me, and it's interesting there, he talks about paying his vow unto the Lord in the presence of all his people. Is that not giving testimony to the goodness of God in my life, in your life? What God has done in redeeming us from sin? What God has done in taking us from a person and a character that was good for nothing and turning us into something marvelous, turning us into something miraculous? You know, every Christian, every born-again believer is a new creature. Every born-again Christian is a miracle, a transformation from dead to life, a transformation from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. How do we know these things? From the Word of God. And unless we're looking at the Scripture and unless we're reminding ourselves of these things, we just don't remember. I found, had a verse here and I... Oh yeah, here it is, Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And again, the psalmist here, he exhorts us, don't forget what God has done for you. Don't forget. You know, people are forgetful. Humans are forgetful. And I believe that's why in the Old Testament, when something, a milestone or something miraculous used to happen, when someone used to meet with God, that they would build an altar in that place as a memorial, so that when they walk past and they see those stones, they go, that is when I had that dream. You know, Jacob says, that's when I had that dream. And the angels of God came up and down the ladder to me from heaven and ministered to me. You know, and Abraham and Moses and Joshua, and it goes on and on, built altars to as a memorial to the wonderful things that God has done. And it's so important for us not to forget what God has done. Not to forget, to tell our children our own testimony, to tell our children how God's worked in our life, you know, from when we were first married, along the way, how he's provided for us. you know, and all the things that we can think of to communicate to them how good God is and how good God's been to us. Psalm 107 and verse 42. Actually, I'll read back from a bit more. Psalm 107, I'll read from verse 36. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction and maketh his families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Now this is the verse, I concentrate on this. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And understanding the loving kindness of the Lord is directly tied up with thankfulness. When we understand God's love for us, when we understand how God provides for us, we cannot help but be thankful. And it's what we think about. I was thinking about what Pastor was saying this morning with regards to idols. You know, if we spend based on his ratio, 26 to 1, if we spend an hour a day on average in our Bible, if we do, and praying and talking about the things of the Lord, if we do for 1 hour, then that means that we spend 26 times more than that every day. Well, we can't do it. I don't know about you, but I can't do it because there's not enough hours in the day. But the rest of the time would all be taken up with staring at our screen. And what are we going to learn there? If we're not reading our Bible, are we going to be focusing on the loving kindness of the Lord? Or are we going to be focused on violence, entertainment, lust, intrigue, whatever it is that tickles your fancy? And it's no wonder that as Christians we can't call to mind as soon as something happens the wonderful things that God has done for us. Why we can't straight away understand the loving kindness of the Lord in our life. Why our first thought isn't, God, you are so good to me. You know, I always remember a man back in Perth. He was an old Brethren fella. He would have been 80 years old. Charlie Lanham, his name was, and he used to be a pilot for aerial missions, fly out into the outback and go and minister to the Aboriginals. And that guy, it was like when you looked at his 80-year-old body, he was only about so tall. He had grey hair and wrinkles and, you know, like old people do. And you look at him and it was like the eyes of his body belonged to somebody else. They belonged to like an 18-year-old kid that was like, every time you saw him, he was just like, how's it going, brother? Isn't the Lord so good? And I mean, not in a Pentecostal, charismatic, put-on way. I mean, this guy was so joyful, it just spilled out of him. He was, you know, and I haven't met many people like that in my life. But he was just, the joy of the Lord spilled out of that guy. And, you know, I want to be like that. I want to be an 80-year-old guy and the joy of the Lord spilling out of me. Because then people will look to my God and say, that is a great and mighty God. You know, James tells, when he writes his epistle, my brethren, count it all joy. And he's telling us to be joyful, just like Paul was. We remember Paul was writing to the Philippians from a Roman prison. Not long before that, he'd come from Caesarea, I think it was, where he'd been stoned to death. And on the way from one place to another, he was shipwrecked. And then he, if you remember, was making a fire and got bitten by a snake, right? And then he was under house arrest. He didn't have his freedom or his liberty. And people were preaching the gospel just so he would get a sore punishment. And he said, therein will I rejoice. I have made a choice that I am going to rejoice and be joyful. Not because my circumstances are good, but because my God is good. And so James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. What strange language is this? Knowing this, okay, this is why he's saying you can do it. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. What's James saying? James is saying all things work together for good for those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. He's saying you can count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations because when your faith is tried, it's going to work patience. And when patience has been perfected in your life, you're going to be perfect and entire and you're going to be wanting nothing. You're going to be content. You're going to be thankful and you're not going to be anxious for anything. So when trials come, thank God because he is doing a good work. I love the verses, he that has begun a good work in you will continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And there's another promise that says he will perfect that which concerns each one of us. And so we have the promise that no matter what goes on in our life, we can thank God because he is doing something. Let's just remind ourselves last of all, and we'll look at this next time, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And I believe that this is the key verse of the whole of the book of Philippians. Philippians 4 verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And he says, what we think is who we are. The Proverbs tells us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If a man thinks on lust, he is a lustful man. If a man thinks on violence, he is a violent man. If a man thinks on God, he is a godly man. And he'll be a joyful man. And so Paul tells these people, think on these things. Is this is the power of positive thinking? Well, you can call it that if you want. But, and we'll look at this in more in depth next time we open up Philippians. But the challenge to us is, how do we choose to think about things? Good things and bad things. Are we thankful or are we unthankful? One is going to produce joy, the other one is going to produce discouragement, depression. You know, the number one reason why people are depressed is because they refuse to think right. They refuse to count their blessings. And I'm not criticizing people who get depression. There's reasons that people suffer these things. But one of the keys is if we think right, then we can be thankful and we can have joy. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, such a challenge to us to, Lord, always when we're faced with difficult situations or even good ones, to be thinking about what we can be thankful for, to not forget all your benefits to us. Lord, may we be people who are joyful people, that when people look at us and look at our life, they don't see murmurers and disputers. Lord, they see joyful people, people who are thankful, people who have a great God. Lord, work in our hearts. Help us to, Lord, realize or identify the areas in which we need to, Lord, think differently about things. Lord, we fall into old habits. Help us to break them. Lord, help us to just stop and think and count our blessings. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you took the time to write it to us, Lord. We pray now that your Holy Spirit would continue to minister to our hearts. And Lord, that you would make us the people that you want us to be for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.